I'm Erica Farber, President and CEO of the REB, and welcome to Radio on Main Street, the podcast all about radio. Our current podcast series focuses on one of radio's greatest and most special assets, our on-air talent. As we continue to say, radio was the original social medium, and its on-air personalities are the original social media influencers. Some of these radio influencers have greater reach and followers than that of other media. They have incredibly strong ties to local communities based on a foundation of trust and emotional connection. As individuals who entertain, educate, and inform, radio influencers have the power to impact and affect behavior and brand consideration. And on a daily basis, they create environments that connect their audiences with businesses to help drive brand awareness and increase sales for those businesses, products, and services. In our fifth podcast of the series, we hear the conversation I had with Rich Eisen, host of The Rich Eisen Show, which blends sports, pop culture, humor, and interviews discussing topical issues not commonly addressed by broadcasters. With multi-channel distribution, he's heard on Westwood One Radio, the Roku channel for TV, and Sirius XM. With a really busy schedule, I was able to catch up with him while he was in Canton, Ohio for the Pro Football Hall of Fame induction ceremony. With multiple Emmy nominations this year, he'll be hosting the 2023 Marconi Awards, where he also happens to be a Marconi Award nominee. First of all, gosh, sports is exploding, and you have been involved in this for quite a while, and yet you're still the leader, if you will. So why do you think you have cut through in such a great way, and what differentiates you from the other sports broadcasters, if you will?
I don't know. I guess I'll leave it up to others to decide why, you know, I've been able to, you know, stick at it on the national scene since 1996. You want to include my local sports TV anchoring at KRCR-TV in Redding, California. That's 1994 is when I got started. But I got on SportsCenter in 96, NFL Network in 2003, started my own podcast in 2011. 2014 is when The Rich Eisen Show was born, thanks to Chris Long at DirecTV. And then in 2019, DirecTV, you know, now with AT&T and Warner as the parent company, decided to discontinue the network that was carrying my show, and the radio world that was associated with it got blown up. And then I took ownership of the show and the radio program and the podcast and the social medias and digital platforms as part of an exit with AT&T, and I've been the president and CEO of Rich Eisen Productions since then. And, you know, just walking you through all of that, I'm very fortunate that, you know, that I've been able to stick at it as long as I have. But, you know, Erica, I tell everybody that young kids or, you know, college students that ask me for what the secret sauce is, and I just say all the time, be yourself. That is truly your own fingerprint. When you ask, you know, what's different, what I do different, how it cuts through, is I'm one of one, right? I'm the only one of me. And so I speak from the heart, speak from the gut. You know, I'm not one of the hot takers in our business, which sometimes is a strike against me, because people who I compete against who traffic in those areas sometimes get more of the clicks and the eyeballs, not just because of people who are attracted by it, but from folks who want to counter it by retweeting it or talking about the take that was just had, which unfortunately only serves the purpose of the hot takers in our business who's out there just to be heard rather than be right. So all of that together, I just am who I am, and those who I've ever come across in the business who are exactly who they are off the air as they are on the air, right, are the most successful people I've ever met.
Mm-hmm. You started as a radio show and then you transitioned across multiple platforms.
Mm-hmm.
And yet the foundation of radio still appears to be very important to you.
Oh, very much.
And what makes really great radio, and why is it important to you?
All right, here's why it's important to me. First of all, you know, again, I started the podcast in 2011, the Rich Eisen podcast through the NFL Network. And I remember going to Steve Bornstein, the legend, who's, I've always told him, he's smart enough to have hired me twice at ESPN and the NFL Network. I went in, I said, I want to do a podcast. He said, why? I said, because it allows you to have longer conversations and actual conversations. My role as a television host after leaving SportsCenter was essentially as a traffic cop, where analysts that I'm on the air, I set them up for their opinions, and then I will, you know, sometimes push back or have a dialogue with them. But somebody's always getting in your ears saying, we got to throw to breaks, 3-minute segments, 5-minute segments. And podcasts are an on-demand world as well. I kind of was realizing where our industry was going, that people want to watch things live or watch things whenever they want on a DVR. People want to listen to things live whenever they're in a car or they have an ability to do that, or they want to listen to it whenever they want, on a plane, on a train, anywhere. So I wanted to get in the world of podcasting for conversational purposes and also on-demand purposes. And that morphed into DirecTV reaching out to me to simulcast my show as a 3-hour radio program after Dan Patrick's show in 2014. And the reason why I also jumped at that is because radio allows me to talk to people. It allows me to be available. It allows people to call mm-hmm. a number and talk with me and me to meet them. That's the thing in television. Everybody's trying to crack that code. How do you break that fourth wall and communicate with the consumer, with the viewer, with the fan? How do you get that one-on-one? And the thing that television, I think, turned to quite a bit would be to read an email on the air and then a tweet on the air. Right. Or whatever it's being called now, an X or a post or whatever. And so nothing beats calling a radio show or a radio host to speak with someone and make a connection. And I love that. I'm fortunate to add a new affiliate, because again, when DirecTV shuttered the Audience Network and Fox Sports Radio and iHeart decided to end their relationship with me, I had zero radio affiliates. I had none, zero. Right. And so my partnership with Westwood One and Cumulus is one of my most cherished partnerships. And now that we're, you know, just honing in on about 60 radio affiliates right now, whenever I hear one added, I do not take it for granted, but I want it live. I want that live. I want that ability for somebody to hear something I'm saying, or what one of my guests is saying, or one of my on-air compadres is saying, and reach for that phone and connect with me. I did stand up in college, and I always enjoyed that give and take sometimes with an audience. Sometimes I didn't want to hear it because it was them who started the conversation heckling me from the audience. But nothing beats the personal nature of somebody listening to the radio, reaching for the phone and calling up. And I don't have that through television. I don't have that avenue. I don't get to enjoy the give and take. And that's what radio gives me. And I love it. Love it.
You talk about that connection and that communication. And, you know, so many of our listeners now are not listening to us on a traditional radio device.
Right.
And so has that changed a little bit about how you connect with your audience and how they connect with you?
Well, through radio you're talking about, or any other digital platform?
Well, just to reach you, because, you know, you mentioned the phone, but, you know, there's a lot of people who don't use the phone anymore, and they may text you or send you a tweet or go on social media. So,
right. Yeah. And so, you know, every day my show, again, is simulcast. So what we do as soon as we're done is we, you know, chop it up into about 12 to 15 consumable segments that you can check out on YouTube, you can check out on Twitter or whatever it's called now, and Threads and Facebook. I have a firm that also dilutes things down to just 90 seconds for reels, as they're known, or shorts on YouTube, reels on Instagram and Facebook and TikTok. And, you know, you got to meet the consumer where they're consuming,
right,
regardless of the age group. But I just find it amazing that radio stands the test of time. It really is awesome, and that there is also a very small town component to it, where you're reaching people who may not have the proper connection or connectivity that requires a digital connection. And sometimes it's the old radio that you're just turning on in your car, turning on in your house. You got an old AM. I remember the AM radio I used to listen to with my parents in their house and call into radio shows when I was a kid, and then record it, you know, with my my tape deck, so I could play it back and prove to my friends that I was on the radio. You know, and I still get that kick out of being on the radio every day. And it's also an interesting challenge for me that being part of a simulcast is that, you know, which audience are you putting first? You know, I kind of split it down the middle. And, you know, I think Howard Stern was such a, and still is, an iconoclast, where he would do things on the radio that you need to see to fully either get the gag or see what's going on, but just hearing something
right
always would make you more curious and also potentially eager to get the video version of what you just heard. And you sometimes get two bites at the consumer. Also, his ability to listen in interviews and long formats, regardless of the actual commercial break format. Now, obviously, him being on satellite radio for a while makes it different, but being a kid listening to WNBC, as he would say, as a kid, you know, after Imus, I always take a lot of cues from him. And so I will do things on the air that I know you need to see, but I will just assume the radio audience will want to find it later. And then there will be times where I will just cater to the radio audience and have an opinion that might take 5, 6, 7 minutes in length, that somebody watching might not see the bells and whistles on the screen. It's just me talking into a microphone, but that's for the radio audience. That's have somebody sit there in their car. You know, they're a little late for work, but they got to stay put.
Finish the story.
You know, there's an appointment that they got to get in, but they're going to be 3 minutes late, but they got to stay in the car.
Right.
I've been in that situation. I don't want to keep creating that. So I kind of go into every day planning something, a little bit of both for the audience. And I'm fortunate to have that challenge.
Obviously, you have a very special relationship with your audience. And can you share with us a specific story or a conversation that you had with a member of your audience that, you know, really shows the connection that you have?
You know, we've had some listeners that have been calling in for years, and we get to know them, and we've met them at Super Bowls, because that's when, you know, it's kind of like a convention. We had a caller for a couple of years early on that would call every day and then stopped calling, and then got a message from a friend that he had become ill. And, you know, we got to meet him and be there for him. That when people call up and say, hey, you helped me get through this, you helped me get through that. And I'm not saying that because I'm the only one. I'm sure anybody that listens to a show that they like, anybody that turns on the radio or a podcast and gets to meet the people by listening to them every day, there's a relationship that's formed and bonded. And I don't take it for granted. But getting to meet people like that, and we heard he was sick, and we came to New York. He was in Delaware, and he came up with a friend and just wanted to watch the show. So we had him sit there, and it's those types of relations. It's like, that's life, right? I mean, that is life. And people calling up and sometimes saying, you know, hey, they will legitimately start talking and say, I haven't called in a while because this happened with my mom, or this was happening with me, whatever. And I take that seriously because it is life. And I always talk about life issues on the show as well. So again, you get that through TV, where they'll send you a letter to the network, or you will be on the road and run into people. But radio is legitimately every day somebody can call my hotline and talk to me. And I love it. I don't take it for granted.
Well, and I think you, as a communicator, whether they agree with something you said or not, you've always treated your audience with respect.
Thank you.
And I think that the audience recognizes that, and I'm sure that has a lot to do with your success.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. I never feel the audience is anything but receptive. And clearly, sometimes somebody might think I'm full of it or full of myself, and I'm happy to have them call in and tell me that. And I always feel like, even back in my SportsCenter days, I would make a joke or an inside joke or a reference over a highlight. And I always thought to myself, I don't feel I'm being exclusionary to the people that didn't watch the TV show or the movie or hadn't seen it and might not get the reference. I always assume that they're perceptive enough to know what I'm attempting to do.
Right.
And maybe, you know, listen for the next one.
Mm-hmm.
And so I never take the audience for granted or think that they're not perceptive. And if they're going to call me and want to tell me I'm full of it or I'm full of myself, I appreciate that I'm being heard and will always push back. And obviously, if they're being disrespectful, just, you know, move on. But that's the way I've always viewed an audience, always. And with the respect and just assuming their emotional intelligence, as well as just perceptivity, that they'll just pick up on the way I'm talking or the way that I'm acting or reacting, and hopefully return in kind.
So at the REB, our focus is to present our story to everyone,
yep,
in the most positive way that we can. And one of our measures for success is increasing the advertising pie. And by doing that, it allows great content providers such as you to grow your shows.
Mm-hmm.
And if you had 30 seconds in front of a major advertiser or agency, yeah, what would you say to them about why it's important to include radio in their marketing plans?
Because of exactly what I just said, you're reaching a wide audience. You're reaching a wide audience that can also react to you and react to your product. Also, you can, you know, measure the level of interest sometimes through calls to action and, you know, codes and promo codes and things like that if you really want to get deep into it. But radio is a very intimate medium. Again, it's sometimes just somebody with an earbud in or a headset on, and it's just you and the headset and the person you're listening to. Mm-hmm. It's you in a car. It's you in a truck. It's you in a cab. It's you somewhere. Usually it's not like the old days, years and years ago, where a whole family is huddling around a radio. It's usually just a one-on-one connectivity. And it's unique in that respect. And it's just also a place to get into small communities that might not be seeing a tweet or getting that internet connectivity that's required. The radio is a simple method. It's an old school method, but it's as powerful as ever. And that's what I would say to them. Mm-hmm. And say that, you know, obviously the Rich Eisen show should be their first choice and placing their marketing. You know, there's many different ways to integrate, and you know, we are using on our show through Westwood One, and giving you know, a shout out to the group there. We're utilizing a universal way of going about it, not just terrestrial, but also podcast and also social media, digital aspects to it. There's many different ways that you can reach and give the advertiser that is putting their money on a radio show other ways to get heard and get their product in front of people.
Can you share an example or two of how you have personally worked with an advertiser? And it could have been an endorsement campaign or just a product or service that you were involved with to get that message out.
With my show you're talking about, or, uh-huh, you know, or throughout the years? I mean, for years we've had sponsors, obviously back in the DirecTV, AT&T, iHeartRadio days. Honda was a 3-year sponsor, and we would we wouldn't just do live reads. We would also have videos associated that we would put on our show Twitter feed, and we're kind of mirroring that sort of behavior. Right now, a major sponsor of my show is Grainger, where they are sponsoring my desk that I'm sitting at right now, and we're doing live reads out of that. And
so it's product placement, correct?
Yes, and there are just many different ways of just associating a brand with a segment, associating a brand with a phone line potentially, associating a brand with a guest, associating a brand with so many different aspects of our program. And I'm always up for talking to the advertiser and getting to know them and getting to meet them. The way that we got Honda in the gate years ago was we had a minivan, and all three of my kids loved the minivan. And I used my children, to be quite frank with you, Erica. My wife wholeheartedly endorses it. By the way, she just built, like, I'm here in Canton, Ohio for the Hall of Fame. My wife was just the host for the show today, all 3 hours. So she's a broadcaster as well, and she gets it. So we had my kids shoot a video about what they loved about their Honda minivan.
You can't get more personal than that.
No, you can't. So I'm happy to, you know, connect a brand with my personal life, which is what I think everybody in advertising and agencies associated with brands, that's what they're looking for. I know every single piece of copy that I read, it says, do not read verbatim, you know, add your own personal stories about the product. And I'm always up for that. I'm always open to that. And I know that that's what the just bring, I guess, the whole conversation full circle is just being yourself and being natural about it. And I think that's what works with advertisers.
Well, with audio usage being an all-time high, where do you see the future of audio and radio right now, Rich?
Well, like I said, I mean, I'm building back really, it's been very exciting for me. Again, having zero radio affiliates in 2020, and then the mightier 1090 in Southern California being my first radio affiliate with my production company running the show. And now, again, through the help of Cumulus and Westwood One, they have been spectacular. So I'm seeing more and more interest in my show, which is great. And that's truly, I guess, my only perspective on it, is I'm seeing that a show like mine that is not just sports talk driven, but pop culture driven. I mean, we have some, pleased to say, heavy hitting celebrity guests when there's not an acting and writing strike in Los Angeles. We have a lot of talk about movies and TV and music. Mm-hmm. And the fact that that plays on a sports talk radio station or a news talk. I've been placed in a lot of news talk lineups as well.
Interesting.
Yes. Even if it doesn't align with my own personal political beliefs, but I try to keep that obviously out of a show on a daily basis. But I'm seeing my show grow. And again, I'm not out there, you know, yelling for coaches to be fired or, you know, throwing somebody who shot 1 for 15 on the night under the category of they stink and then don't pay attention to the next time that they shoot 13 of 15 from the field. Right. And act like I never said they were 1 for 15 stinking. So, I mean, my show is growing. I see my podcast audience growing. I see the fact that I'm on Sirius XM and Odyssey is a sign of growth. And then my show video is on a streamer. So I think more streaming listening potentially is a growth industry for us. But, you know, obviously podcasting, it seems like everyone has a podcast now. And so that's clearly a growth business as well. I'm starting my own podcast line, Rich Eisen Podcasts. I've got a couple new ones coming out this fall, as a matter of fact. I'm taking a very popular segment from my daily radio show called Overreaction Monday, where we overreact to headlines in the football world. And I've dubbed the supposition that is an overreaction, whether it's proper or not. That's a very popular segment. So I'm now expanding that to a half hour long podcast every single Monday. And then on Tuesdays during the football season, my wife, Susie Schuster, is going to co-host a show with the longtime president of the Oakland and Los Angeles Raiders in Amy Trask, who is an incredibly popular
Fantastic.
Broadcaster of her own right. And the two of them together are going to talk football and get Amy's opinions and Susie's opinions and guests. And it's going to be also because they both love ice cream. As a matter of fact, they had some today during their segment talk on my show. It's going to be called the Football Scoop. And so they're going to, you know, also mix in a little bit of ice cream review while they're talking football and hopefully not get a brain freeze. And and so we're going to shoot that, both of them, out of my studio in Los Angeles.
Love that.
And thanks to the folks at Cumulus Podcast Network, off we go. And Rich Eisen Podcast is going to be born. I'm currently working on a logo of my Running Man logo that's associated with my silhouette of me running my 40-yard dash in a suit.
Right.
The logo of the podcast, we're just working on it right now, is the Running Man having a phone in his upper hand and earbuds attached to the phone. So we're going to brand it all together. And clearly that wouldn't be happening if that wasn't a growth industry, despite so many people doing it. So it's very exciting. I'm very bullish on it. To be perfectly frank with you, I am beyond honored to have been nominated for a Marconi this year.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I've been fortunate to have been nominated multiple times for an Emmy and haven't been able to break through to the winner's podium there. And it would be quite remarkable if I was able to maybe bring a Marconi home before an Emmy, which for me would be a career achievement, because I do love to talk. I love to have conversations, and I want to push back on the notion that I'm a TV guy interloping in a radio world. I am a radio guy. I have been doing this now for 9 years, coming up in October. If you want to include my podcast years, a dozen. I have been talking, not just on TV, and I love it. And I guess that's my treatise on the future of this business. I wouldn't be doing it if I thought there was a dead end at the end of the road.
Well, I love what the future sounds like and looks like, and it's very exciting. Our umbrella theme at the REB is under the line Radio Works. So if you could just finish the sentence, Radio Works because?
Radio works because it connects with people. That is simple. And I understand TV connects with people and other mediums connect with people, but it connects with people in a very intimate way, very intimate way. And it's easy to find. It's easy to tune in. It's easy to find. And it's simple, effective, and really quite intimate. And I find that every day. And I'm fortunate that I have that ability to connect with a fan.
And radio matters because?
Radio matters because it allows long form conversation. It's not just argument. It's actual conversation, give and take. It matters because it is a mass media that does reach every part of this country, internationally as well. And I guess it's the same thing. Radio matters because it is an intimate connection between fan and broadcaster.
This was great. Rich, I've seen many of the YouTubes with you and your wife, and you are a delightful couple.
Thanks, Erica.
She certainly stands her own ground.
As
you do, but there's such a great balance. And we all know that sports fans don't overreact to anything. So I don't know about this overreaction Monday.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. It'll be fun. That's again, Mondays, and Susie and Amy Trask on Tuesdays. And we're going to keep growing it.
It's fantastic. And
thanks, Erica.
Thank you again so much for joining me, and have a great time in Canton.
Thank you. I will do that. We'll chat again, and you just let me know when you want to do this again.
I will. Thank you.
Take care.
Radio allows Rich to talk to people. As he shared, nothing beats calling a radio show or a host to speak with someone just to make that connection, and he loves that. Nothing beats the personal nature of someone listening to the radio and reaching for the phone and calling up. You just don't have that on TV.
If you'd like to learn more about radio and its many benefits, we invite you to visit us at rab.com, or you can email us directly at askrab@rab.com. Until next time, it's Radio on Main Street.